If you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 13. Our text today, Luke 13 and verses 10 through 17. Luke 13, 10 through 17. Hear now the word of the Lord. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, don't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. This is God's word. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, open our hearts now. Lord, calm our minds from useless and endless distractions. Lord, help us to focus upon you and your word. Lord, may your spirit bring that word to life, penetrate our hearts, our souls, our very being with your truth. Lord, our prayer this day is that we would hear your voice, and your voice only. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. As we grow older, it seems like a constant thing that parts of our body do not work like they should. Knees and backs and shoulders and elbows and ankles all seem to cause us pain and give us infirmity and inability to do some of the things we want to do. And sometimes when we overdo it, they remind us with pain and disability, and sometimes it takes days and weeks to get better, and we resolve to be more careful in the future. But you know, you don't have to look very far in this world to find someone with a serious disability that makes you wonder why you even complain at all if it didn't hurt so much. And you have to wonder how these people even function. Serious disabilities, handicaps. And yet, many of those people seem to function and just fine and get along just fine in life. And one of those people was this woman in our text today who came to the synagogue. 18 years she has been afflicted with this disease. The Greek word there that's translated crippled in your text is synkupto. A.T. Robertson says that is a medical term for curvature of the spine. But it's also very clear in the text that this is the direct result of Satan attacking this woman. This woman was unable to stand erect. She could not sit erect. No doubt it caused her great pain to walk to the synagogue that day. And apparently she is a very faithful attender at the synagogue. And when you see people like this, it just brings to mind to me the great testimony of many people. And it seems to me, over the years I've noticed this, that some of the most faithful people in church are the ones who have the most difficult time getting there, and the ones who have to endure many different hardships and disabilities and encumbrances to try to be in worship. But it seems like they're the ones that are always there. And I'll just add as a side note, this should be a rebuke to all the healthy, young, strong Christians who stay out of church for the least little sniffle or problem that they might have. But interestingly enough, this woman comes to the synagogue on this day, and she does not come asking Jesus to heal her. She comes to hear the word. She comes to be taught. She comes to get strength and nourishment for her soul. But her faithfulness is rewarded on this day. Jesus sees her. How could you miss her? When she comes in, she can't even stand up straight. Bent over, shuffling along. And Jesus sees her and has compassion on her and calls her to come up front where he is. And he says, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." And he touched her. And immediately, the scripture says, immediately, she stood up and was healed. This miracle, like all of Jesus' miracles of healing, is not a healing followed by a long period of rehabilitation. 18 years, she has maintained this posture. I imagine her bones have grown in that way. I imagine arthritis has set in and locked her back in that position. Her muscles and her tendons, her nerves have all been shapen by this disease and affliction for 18 years. And just like that, they're made whole. They're new and strong and flexible, and she is able to stand, and she stands up straight and begins to praise God. You know, nothing is impossible with Jesus. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. He who formed this vast universe out of nothing, at his word, by his very word, can heal and restore and mend and, yes, drive out the underlying cause in this case. Demons, even Satan himself, are not strong enough, because all he has to do is say the word and the woman is set free from that. You know, this is a beautiful picture of Jesus' compassion for sinners. Jesus walked this earth among people who were damaged in all sorts of ways by sin and Satan and all his hordes who worked against the human race. And Jesus walks among this and sees this. And we see many, many examples of him reaching out to and helping and healing. Several times we see Jesus, and the scripture tells us that he healed all those who were there who had diseases. He has compassion on them. But it paints an even more beautiful picture, I think, of Jesus' compassion, his true compassion for sinners. Because you see, sin has distorted and crippled every single one of us. We have been bowed down with sin. We have been distorted. We can't walk uprightly. We can't do what we should do because sin weighs us down. We were held victim by sin, and some may still be today. We were held captive by sin. We were indeed in mind, will, and emotions totally depraved, corrupted, crippled, damaged by sin in every conceivable way. And Jesus comes into that. Jesus says the word. Jesus touches us by his Holy Spirit. And we're restored. We're born again. We're made new. We are regenerated, and we are able to love him. We're able to exercise faith, and we're able to walk uprightly and follow Christ. What a great picture we have here of Jesus' love for sinners. And it's displayed here in a very physical way. It's also displayed here in his triumph over Satan, who had bound this woman. And it is Satan and sin and this world who has conspired to cripple every one of us. And yet the Lord Jesus can cure that, fix that with the word. He can restore us. He can put where there was nothing but corruption, he can put new life and a new person, one who desires to follow after him. This is the wonder of wonders of Jesus' love and compassion and mercy for sinners. This woman, her reaction, I don't think, is too amazing. She praised God. In fact, I don't think that those three words adequately express what was going on. Can you imagine? 18 years you've suffered like this. And instantly you're fixed, you're cured, you're whole. Can you imagine the joy that flooded her soul? Can you imagine the look on her face? From contorted and painful. One of you said a few weeks ago that I didn't look so hot that day. I didn't feel so hot. Your face usually reflects how you feel. Can you imagine that woman? The countenance brightened, her smile. Can you imagine the words that came from her mouth as she praised God? I believe that for the next 18 years or however long that one may have lived, you got to hear from her about what Jesus did for her. And having said that, let me ask you, if you've been delivered from your sin, your total depravity in which you came into this world, your crippled, distorted way of life, if Christ has come and healed you, given you a new heart, regenerated you, does joy flood your soul? Does your face know it? Do you show in your countenance the love of Christ? Is that joy evident to all people? Does your mouth praise him for what he has done? Is that what fills your soul, your face, your life, your words? Christians sometimes are accused of being pretty sour. We have no reason to look and act and talk that way. We've been delivered from the greatest sickness and bondage that ever existed and will ever exist. For nothing in us and for nothing that we did, by the pure love and compassion and mercy of Jesus Christ, just like we see exhibited that day long ago in the synagogue. But everybody that day was not happy. The ruler of the synagogue, the president of the synagogue, as the Jews would call him, the one who presided over the synagogue, was indignant. He was frustrated and he was angry. Now, a great miracle had been done. The presence of God had obviously been displayed in the synagogue where he was the ruler, the president, and he's mad about it. He's nobody's fool, though. He does not attack Jesus directly. He lords it over the people, as he does many times, I imagine. You see, the people were very subservient to the Pharisaic commands and regulations that they imposed upon them. And he turns to the people and he says, look, There are 6 days during the week when you can come here and be healed. Don't be coming here on the Sabbath day to be healed. Well, number one, she didn't come to be healed. I've already made that point. But the arrogance and stupidity of this man is almost beyond description. He seems to imply that if there's something wrong with you, all you got to do is come up here to synagogue on Tuesday and you'll be healed. He seems to forget this woman has been coming there faithfully for 18 years and she hasn't gotten healed yet. I mean, this is the height of arrogance and really what it is. Jesus knows his heart. This is just a thinly veiled attack upon Jesus for what is perceived as a violation of the Sabbath regulations. Now, he may have been, he thought, at least somewhat clever in his rebuke of Jesus by going a roundabout way. Jesus' reply, however, is not roundabout, it's right to the point. You hypocrites, don't every one of you go home from here and untie your donkey and your ox, feed them, take them to water on the Sabbath day? Don't you do that? Shouldn't this daughter of Abraham, who has been bound, who's been tied up for 18 years, shouldn't she be loosed on the Sabbath? You know, Jesus is not at all defending what he did. He's saying very plainly, he didn't do anything wrong. The law made provision to take care of your animals on the Sabbath. It would be cruel to leave your animal tied up, especially in that climate sometimes, to leave your animal tied up all day with no water or feed. That would be cruel. I think there's an underlying reason here. There is material advantage in taking care of your animals. If you don't take care of them, you could lose them. You could suffer financial loss. There's no financial loss to ignoring this woman. That's not going to impact you at all. You see, I think Jesus is cutting right to the heart of the matter here. You don't mind working on the Sabbath if it's going to benefit you. But to free this woman from this bondage that she'd been in for 18 years, you could care less about that. You care a lot more about your animals than you do about your fellow man. That's what Jesus is saying. This may have been her only chance. In fact, this is the last recorded incident we have where Jesus went into the synagogue. Anywhere. But Jesus calls them out for their love for regulations, their love for their rules, many of which they have added to the scripture, over 600 of them. And they love that more than they love people. They love lording it over the people more than they love helping the people. Jesus adds another reason to that, though. He says, she's a daughter of Abraham. I think Jesus implies there that she is one of the same faith as Abraham. She is a true daughter of Abraham, one who has faith, one who believes. She is one of the covenant people, the true believers, and as such, she is entitled to all the blessings that flow to those of the promise when Messiah comes, both temporal and spiritual blessings. She's entitled to that. She is the first to receive that. She is one of those that the patriarchs pointed to over and over, those who were faithfully looking for and expecting the coming of Messiah. And now he's come. He has come, and he has demonstrated in his coming exactly what he said. He has come into the world to destroy the works of the devil. Here's this woman who has been bound by Satan. Satan has run roughshod over this world for centuries. And that's what Jesus Christ does when he comes and works these miracles. He reverses what Satan has done. He destroys the work of Satan with the word, this powerful word. And this woman is a recipient of that, and rightfully so, Jesus says, because she is a daughter of Abraham. As the writer to the Hebrews says, it is not angels that he helps, but Abraham's descendants. It's one of the great verses in the New Testament. If you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This woman was an heir. If you belong to Christ, you are an heir of all that has been promised to those who belong to Jesus Christ. The great promises he made to all the patriarchs down through the ages come now, and they're being fulfilled in Christ. And we see a visible demonstration of it here this day. You know, this synagogue ruler and people like him care much more about rules, procedures, systems than they do about people. This is one of the problems with government. As government grows, people become insignificant. Government knows best. Government is more compassionate. Government is wiser. And people are just subsumed in all that, and the individual just disappears. But it's not restricted to government. Many churches get hung up in rules and procedures and forms and tradition and care nothing about people. That is not what the Church of Jesus Christ should be doing. We see it here in the synagogue 2,000 years ago. They loved the rules. They loved the rules about the Sabbath more than the people for whom the Sabbath was given. This is always a challenge. Jesus Christ did not come in the world and die for rules and regulations and forms and traditions. He came into the world and died for sinners. He came into the world to lift up those who are bowed down. Notice the two different reactions. The ruler of the synagogue and probably some of his Pharisee friends who were there were humiliated. They were put to shame by what Jesus said. They had no answer. Their arrogant mouths are hushed. The Lord of glory walked into that synagogue that day and gave a visible demonstration that he was indeed the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises of the Messiah, and these people are too stupid to see it. And then he rebukes them. They have nothing to say. It is to their shame that they do not recognize the Lord of glory. These are people who are experts in the law. They know the Old Testament. They know that when Messiah comes, he will heal the lame, make the blind see. And as we read in our Old Testament reading this morning, he will lift up those who are bowed down. Here is fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Right before their very eyes, and all this man can do is hate and criticize and ignore the revelation of God. But he and all those who are opposed to Jesus Christ will be humiliated. Scripture says every mouth will be shut. All who oppose Christ will be put to everlasting shame. But there's another reaction. The people were delighted. They loved what they saw. They understood. They've seen this woman coming for 18 years, pretty faithfully, every week. They feel sorry for her. And here she is restored and healed. They share her joy. They're delighted. God has visited them in that place. Probably a crowd not anywhere as big as this crowd. A little gathering at a little synagogue in some unnamed place. And God himself is there and demonstrates that to them. And they're rejoicing. They're rejoicing that their fellow man has been delivered. They're rejoicing that God is with them. It doesn't get any better than that. And as God's people, we should be rejoicing. We've been delivered from something far worse than a crippling disease. We've been delivered from sin that threatened to destroy us eternally. And we've been delivered by this same one, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is able to save to the uttermost and lift up those who are bowed down. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love, for your great mercy and compassion. Lord, what a great and loving God you are, who saw us in our infirmity, our weakness, crippled, disabled by sin. And Lord, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the perfect remedy, perfect solution for our condition. And Lord, you came and touched us. You said the word and changed our hearts that we might believe and be saved. Lord, let us rejoice ever and always. And Lord, may it be clear to all. Lord, may our life, our face, our words reflect that joy. Lord, help us to understand and realize that from which we've been delivered. And Lord, may we go about rejoicing, telling all who will listen, what a great God and Savior we have. We pray all these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.